We're speaking with Dr. Ken Lana Ferguson, the director of the Kalamazoo College Counseling Center, about the new Black and Brown Therapy Collective initiative started by Truth, Racial Healing, and Transformation in Kalamazoo. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
First of all, exactly what is this new collective? What is it, and what is it intended to do?
So the Black and Brown Therapy Collective is an initiative that, like you mentioned, was started for the purpose of, well, was initiated by Lana Lewis, who brought several community partners to the table to talk about ways that we could work together to meet the mental health needs of survivors in our community who have been impacted by racial trauma. And so collectively, we got around the table. Many of us knew about initiatives similar across the country where people who were in need of mental health care were put in touch with or connected to clinicians who could provide them with no-cost services for a predetermined period of time to address some of the racial trauma that they have been experiencing. So the goal is to pretty much fill in a gap in our community where folks are able to have access to clinicians who are culturally responsive, who understand the impact of systemic racism on the mental health of survivors in our community, Black and Brown folks in particular, Black and Brown survivors. And our ideas around connecting them with Black and Brown clinicians is that we know that there are many clinicians in our community who use their skills, their clinical skills, and want to use those clinical skills to support Black and Brown folks in the community. And those opportunities are not always available to survivors in our community. So we wanted to put together an initiative that will help them connect with those services and have access to those services. So that's pretty much what the Black and Brown Collective is going to do. It's going to connect survivors to clinicians of color for the purpose of healing racial trauma.
And when we say racial trauma, what are the kinds of injuries we're talking about?
What you're talking about with racial trauma is race-based traumatic stress. And pretty much what that is mental and emotional injury that is pretty much caused by racial bias, ethnic discrimination, hate crimes, racism. And it's similar in some ways to post-traumatic stress. Most people know about what post-traumatic stress disorder is. It's similar to that in that there can oftentimes be particular ways that it shows up, like it could create vulnerability to mental health disorders like depression, definitely increase anger, memories or reoccurring thoughts of like a particular event that was traumatic, physical reactions like, you know, chest pains, insomnia. It definitely creates a hypervigilance in folks. And then also like avoiding situations that may cause a person to remember a traumatic event. We call that triggering. So it's similar symptoms to that, but unlike post-traumatic stress disorder, race-based trauma is not a mental health disorder. It is really created by these encounters that folks have around racial bias and discrimination and hate crimes. And basically, it's a vulnerability that's due to living under a system of white supremacy.
And does it take a special training for a therapist to be able to deal effectively with that?
Oh, absolutely. It does take some training. We all have to understand trauma. So we all have to understand clinically what trauma does to the brain and the impact of trauma on the brain. So we have to fully understand that. And most of us get that training during while we're earning our degrees or our clinical certification. So the race-based part, which is why it's so important for this collective that we're connecting our survivors with clinicians of color is because you can't teach lived experience, right? So our clinicians of color, though it's not a monolith and we all have different experiences, we also have been living in this system of race, this system of white supremacy. So we also bring to the table a lived experience and a knowing that you can't teach clinicians who are not of color, who have not experienced some of the same things and some of the same types of treatment that some of the survivors have.
Are there enough therapists of this kind in the area to meet the demand, do you think, or not?
No, there are not. There are not enough Black and Brown clinicians in our country. Like, that's another way that there are not enough of us in the pipeline, but there are some. And we are trying to pull together those of us in the community that are here and that are who are available. So I won't say that there's enough. I don't think there'll ever be enough Black and Brown clinicians in the community in the systems that we're in to necessarily meet the need. But we're going to try. We're going to use who's here to try to fill in the gaps and meet the need. We are not saying that only Black and Brown clinicians can treat people who've experienced racial trauma. Our efforts right now are towards making those connections and establishing it. We also know, though, that if you are not Black and Brown, or if you're Black and Brown and don't have the experience with trauma, we would also like to figure out ways to get people this experience, this training, so that they can show up for survivors in a way that is responsive and culturally responsible. So there are white clinicians in our community who I think can also treat our survivors. And right now, that's not what we're focusing on with the collective. We know that there's a lot of mistrust in the mental health system due to the history of mental health care with people of color. So we want to heal that, and we want to create some trust with survivors in our community. And I think some of that trust we need to start with ourselves. And I think we can show up and create safety for them in a way that can start that healing process.
I think you just touched on what I'm going to ask next. And that is, apparently there are some barriers or challenges in helping people of color with issues of this kind because of, a negative attitude towards the mental health system. Is that accurate?
I don't think it's a negative attitude. It's in response to being a part of a system where our needs have not been met. So I don't think it's a negative attitude that comes from just a person's dislike. I think it's the impact of living in white supremacy, where there is disparities, where there has been times where people of color have reached out for help or have gotten inadequate care. And I think part of it is the distrust comes from somewhere. It's not just created. So even if it's not, there's also like generationally. So it doesn't necessarily have to be that they had those experiences. But historically, we've not been cared for in a way that honors our humanity. And in response to that, we're trying to keep ourselves safe. And so we don't access certain services that we believe will be damaging to us. And so I don't know that it's the negative attitude that comes from just we don't like the system. I think we have to acknowledge that comes from somewhere, that the system created the distrust. And we're responding in a way that we don't necessarily, or survivors don't necessarily use those services. They use other ways to cope and to care for themselves. But what we want to do is to say, hey, you also can use therapy to heal, and therapy can be safe. And so it's kind of reparative in that way. And I think who better to repair it than the Black and Brown clinicians who really understand therapy to be a sacred place and can create that security for our clients and start to repair some of the distrust that we didn't create. But I think we are in a position to be able to help heal that distrust that's in the community around mental health care.
And how exactly will the collective, connect the people who need the service with those who can provide it?
Yep. So as part of our program, what we will be hiring a coordinator We have established a list of Black and Brown clinicians in the community that we've reached out to ask to join the collective, and the response has been really, really great. And that list will stay open on a rolling basis, that additional clinicians can join the referral list. So our coordinator will then receive from those who express interest in getting help, they'll receive their information and make the connection between the survivor and the clinician. So we'll do the work of connecting them to those folks that we have on the referral list. And then we will also pay for them to receive up to 4 sessions of therapy from that provider. We will pay the provider to provide those services.
I gather that this is in a 3-month sort of trial pilot project phase at the moment. What's the future plan beyond that?
We want this to stay. We want this to be a resource in our community. I don't think any of us who have involved ourselves think that it's going away. We need some data. We need to see how it's working. We need some information to see what we need to see. That's why it's done on a pilot basis. And we're going to need more funding. And we're going to need to be able to report out the outcome of the pilot study in order to seek more funding to have this be a permanent resource for folks in the community. So I don't see it going anywhere. We're going to do our due diligence. I know it's needed, and I think the response is going to be great. On both ends, from those who may not have accessed services but feel comfortable enough or safe enough to engage in our program and then to seek that help. And then I think we are definitely reaching out to the community. We're not necessarily just waiting for folks to find us. We're saying, like, we're going to actively recruit folks to be in the pilot, and we will continue to do the same. We will promote this as a resource. And so that people know that it is available to them. So, like, that's what the future looks like. I think the future also looks like expanding beyond just individual therapy. I envision group therapy. I envision other healing practices. CAMA is a part of the collective as well, and do some amazing body work and healing work that I think really people can benefit from. So I can see this expanding. And so we're just starting with a pilot to get that information to see in what ways we can continue to grow this as a resource for Kalamazoo.
Is this modeled on maybe similar kinds of programs elsewhere?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there is there are a couple national programs that there's the Taraji Henson Foundation that does some similar work. There's also a woman who does a Black therapy collective in Detroit that we actually talked to do a little bit of research around. So there are other organizations who have done things like this prior to. There's other networks that not necessarily pay for, but like the BEAM Network, the Black Mental and Emotional Health Network, they provide a list of Black and Brown clinicians for folks. So a lot of community organizations across the country have put together lists of Black and Brown clinicians for people to be able to access those clinicians when they need them. We're adding the additional benefit of paying for folks. I won't say necessarily a benefit, but it's a removal of a barrier for folks to be able to access that care when finances are an issue. Some folks can't afford even a copay. So we definitely don't want those things to be a barrier from people getting their needs met.
Yeah, so someone who, for example, doesn't have health insurance could still participate.
Yep. So uninsured or underinsured or just limited resources, I would definitely rather people take care of their children, get food, buy hygiene products, and let the collective help them with this piece of what they might need to be well. I think the clinicians on this list are not just Black and Brown. They're amazing. They're amazing clinicians. They're some of the best clinicians in Kalamazoo. Many of them are community members in Kalamazoo, so the investment is there. It started out, I extended invitations to people, and since then, there are so many Black and Brown clinicians who have emailed me and saying that they've heard about it and they want to be added to the list. So I'm really excited about what's going to be happening, and then pulling all the Black and Brown clinicians together to be a part of the healing in Kalamazoo community. So I'm excited about it.
And we've been speaking with Dr. Kenlana Ferguson, who's the director of the Counseling Center at Kalamazoo College, and amongst those involved in the new Black and Brown Therapy Collective being developed by Truth, Racial Healing, and Transformation in Kalamazoo. Thanks again so much for speaking with us.
You're very welcome.